Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Just about everyone has a story to tell when seeking or using mental health, health care, justice, or addiction services. People can feel like they are walking in an unending maze. It's not just clients or users or patients. It can also be the professionals trying to help. Well, some people want to improve that system in Northumberland. On today's show, a group of professionals who work in these diverse areas are holding a one-day event to address these issues. They want to break down the silos between all the organizations and institutions to better serve the people they help. That's you and me. But they also want to hear from you. That's right, you. They want to hear from people who live in Northumberland. They want to know what is needed to address shortcomings within the system. So on Friday, May 8th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., there is the Come Together Northumberland event at the Coburg Community Center on Darcy Street. In the morning, all the professionals working within these numerous organizations and institutions will gather. Then, at 11 a.m., the public is invited. The Ontario Health Team Northumberland is one of the organizers, along with the Canadian Mental Health Association from our area. Take a listen and see if you or someone you know might benefit from showing up. I'm so pleased to have with me today Tasha Atkinson, Chair of the Northumberland Human Services and Justice Coordinating Committee, Carrie Keitley, Director of Programs and Services for the Canadian Mental Health Association, Halliburton, Kawartha, Pine Ridge, and Lindsay Henderson, Project Lead with the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Rob.
Can someone tell me about this event called Come Together Northumberland? Who would like to start? Lindsay, go ahead.
Yeah, so Come Together Northumberland is a one-day community event that brings together service providers, organizations, and local residents from Northumberland to increase awareness of the local supports and strengthen the connections across our sectors. So we recognize that there was a need for understanding of mental health services, social services, addictions and substance use, homelessness supports, as well as the justice system. And they're all so interconnected, but often they work within their own organizations. And it can be hard to know who to turn to, both from the organization service level, as well as the resident level. So the goal of this day is to bring everyone together under one roof to allow for a collaborative opportunity to discuss the service and programs offered, what do referral pathways look like, and just increase awareness across our entire community.
Lindsay, it sounds to me like a great concept, but wouldn't it one conversation with professionals sound a lot different than conversations with residents? How do you intend to bridge that gap so that everybody's communicating and understanding?
Absolutely. And for our design of that day, we actually were very purposeful in what we did for our timeline of it. So we have a closed to the public section in the morning that is only for service providers and organization staff to be able to come and have those more dedicated conversations around service referral pathways, availabilities of programs and services, so they can have that mindset of how are we serving our clients and patients and community that we are seeing. And then in the afternoon, it is an open house to the community, and that is when it's available for any of the residents to come and interact with these organizations to have that awareness and understanding for themselves, as well as anyone else within their circle that they may encounter, because we don't know if it's then looking for information for themselves, for a family member, for a friend, or just general awareness. And so that promotion in those two areas allows each to have a dedicated purpose behind it.
Tasha, why is it important to connect various organizations and members of the community?
So what we're really hoping to get out of this day is just, like Lindsay said, to bring awareness to the resources. But as the co-chair of the committee in Northumberland, we have a small select group of people. We would like it to be open to a larger community, but we try to connect and collaborate as much as we can within that context. But we find that just with everyone's work caseloads or their scheduling conflicts, we're not able to bring everyone together at once. So that's where this kind of stemmed from. We reached out with OHT to see if we can bring the larger community together into one and just spread awareness and to know what's going on within our own community. On top of the getting everyone together, another thing that we've identified is that so frequently programs and services are changing within their own organizations that getting all of the up-to-date information out to all of community partners can be difficult. So this event allows us to kind of have everything under one roof and get resources available and have everyone on the same page of what's out there.
Lindsay, can you give us some idea of the organizations that will be at this event? For example, what services currently exist in Northumberland to help with mental health and addictions?
Yeah, and I actually think that from the mental health and addiction side, I might let Carrie start in terms of the service provision, because that is very much her realm. And then I can speak a little bit to the organizations as a whole.
Carrie, certainly help us out.
Sure. In terms of organizations that you'll see at this event, it will include Canadian Mental Health Association, and it will include organizations that provide employment services, that provide health services like the Community Health Center, Forecast Addictions team. There will also be housing providers and different community supports there. And I think when we're thinking about what services are available in Northumberland, using Canadian Mental Health Association as an example of how to spread the news is a really good one. We have services that are in communities from Haliburton all the way down to Port Hope Cobourg. But we have many nuanced services. So we have justice services. We have brief mental health services for someone who's experiencing an acute need and needs just a short bit of support. Then we have longer supports. We also have housing supports and the Hope Learning Center, which is a fairly informal psychoeducational based program that helps people make connections to how to manage their own symptoms and make connections to other people in the community. So that's just CMHA, right? We have like those kind of five or six programs within our umbrella. But each of the services that are attending this event also have five or six programs, five or six opportunities that people can access. And we're trying to just broaden knowledge about what is available, what shows up in Campbellford, what shows up in Port Hope, and where can you connect to people.
I didn't hear anything about addiction treatment and harm reduction, that kind of thing. What can you say to that?
Well, the local organization that provides addictions treatment, both in the community as well as some new programs that they're offering in Peterborough, is the Four Counties Addiction Services team. And they're a great partner in Northumberland as well as across the larger area. And they will help to connect people to treatment and certainly navigate the changing waters of harm reduction.
Tasha, Carrie mentioned justice services, and you chair a committee for Northumberland that includes that in its name. Can you help us to understand what sort of services you're talking about when we talk in this context?
Yes. So with sitting on the HSJCC, I would imagine that most people aren't familiar with what that necessarily means or what it entails. So I'll explain the HSJCC a little bit just to give a broader perspective, but then I can also speak to my role if that's relevant to your follow-up question. So the HSJCC is something that happens at an Ontario wide level. So there's three different categories. There's provincial, regional, and then local. So the committee that I chair is the local region. And what it is, it's meant to bring service providers together to collaborate supports. And so within the legal or justice component, we have people who sit on the committee from the OPP. We have Cobourg Police who sits on it as well. We have probation officers, both adult and youth. We have a court worker who works out of the Campbellford Hospital. She does the court support and court diversion out of the Cobourg Court. We do have it opened up so that like duty counsel or crown attorney could sit on it as well. However, there's been a lot of fluctuation with who that is in the Northumberland courts. So we haven't had any representation from that level at this time. But we do try to bring together various parties who support people in different capacities just to fill any gaps that may be identified.
That's a great explanation. Could you give us an example or how this all fits in with what we just were talking about around mental health services?
Yeah, there's a huge intersect in all of this. So, and one, it's like the chicken and the egg thing. What came first? Like, is it the justice involvement? Was there mental health and addictions that led to the justice involvement? So there's a lot of different pieces that kind of all come together. So what we're hoping is to try and not have it very siloed and bring people together and collaborate those supports, because myself as a justice worker, I'm aware of some of the resources in Northumberland, but I'm not as well versed as someone who works in Canopy. I'll throw them out for an example. Like they do dual diagnosis support. So they may have an individual who's struggling with a developmental delay that does come into conflict with the law. And they may show up on my radar, but I'm not aware of the services that are attached to the DSO. So having this collaborative network, we're able to come together and say, like, this is what I'm looking for. Who or where can this individual get that? So it's really just meant to fill all of those voids and have wraparound support. So with our HSJCC committee, there's some of that, but there's so many missing pieces. And I've found that since I've connected with Lindsay, she really brings in a whole nother side of things. And our membership within the HSJCC has even grown since the connection to the OHT, because it's brought in people that I wasn't aware of. And it's broadening our scope of members.
Lindsay, you mentioned in your remarks about pathways and people in the community better understanding the pathways and also the professionals understanding the pathways. I'm sure listeners must be sitting there thinking, you would think this is already happening, but it sounds like that's not the case. What is the status of coordination between these various service providers in Northumberland?
I think to try and answer it as a general question isn't really a possibility, because it's more of a unique level in terms of what pathways look like between connections. So CMHA's connection into, say, hospital services and other organizations. But one of the opportunities with this, with our mental health and addictions working group, as well as with the OHT as a whole, is to do that asset mapping around what does exist for referral pathways from both the service level, so that the organizations can send them directly, or from the self-refer level, for me as a member of the public, what can I access directly? And I think that if you ask anyone that has tried to navigate the healthcare system, you'll get that feedback that it can be very confusing to try and figure out who is your right starting point, how does it work for entry, getting roadblocked or turned down, or things have changed over time from the last time that they accessed it. And so one of the opportunities this event will give us from a lessons learned perspective is that feedback around where folks are having trouble navigating these pathways and getting that understanding to say, what else can we take from this event, from lessons learned, and then make improvements on in our community. So not only is it going to be a starting point for bringing that awareness on the day of the event and creating these relationships, but also what's that future state work? Because we know a one-day event in May is not going to solve everything and explain that understanding across both the organization and the community, but it is a starting point. You need that starting point to be able to keep building those bricks.
Because I can imagine that a person who is listening to this would think, you know, how am I supposed to navigate the system when you guys don't even know how the system works? So, Tasha, you wanted to add something. Could you maybe address that as well?
Yeah, so that's a real struggle. And I've seen it when I'm supporting individuals. They, like, one example, getting ID replaced is a huge challenge. And so in trying to support this one individual, they don't have access to a phone. So we're doing it in the office. We call this number. We're redirected to an alternate number. And we kind of played that phone tag and we bounced around for quite a bit. And I have some familiarity with the pathways in, but for someone who doesn't have that background knowledge or the communication means to do those things on their own, it's a huge gap in service. So,
Carrie, did you have something you'd like to add?
Yeah, I would just love to add to that, Tasha. One of the biggest strengths in community collaboration is relationship. And to your point, Rob, a community member shouldn't have to figure out the complicated web of services. But because things change all the time, staff changes, funding changes, et cetera, the web is always changing. And so I think it's our responsibility as service providers to build relationships with other agencies and understand the pathways so that any person who comes through my door, I can say, oh, this is what your assessed need is. And I know how to then direct you. So I don't have to, so that we don't have to fumble as much. And to Tasha's point, when looking for ID, wouldn't it be great if we just knew who to call because that was a consistent path? And an event like this helps us to build those relationships and stay current on what's available so that the burden isn't placed on the community member who's accessing support, wanting support, to start to navigate all those webs. The burden is placed on the professional, the paid professional, who then knows and has relationships to be able to access the services that the person is hoping for.
It strikes me that this is why it's so important that everyday people show up. Because without everyday people giving examples and registering their concerns, how are you guys supposed to know where the system is failing? And it would be hard, you know, when somebody's going through this to flag, you know, here I have a problem. Where do I call or what do I do to get help to even just to navigate the system or even to start into it? So, Lindsay, I wanted to come back to you because the Ontario Health Team, Northumberland, one of its main missions is to bring people together and help them collaborate. So talk about your role in this event and what you're looking for as one of those agents that's supposed to be helping all of us coordinate our care.
Absolutely. And so one of the things that I bring as a skill set to this event is my project management abilities in terms of setting up our structures for this to be in a successful event and making those connections both in our OHT partners, because we have a set of partners that we are already familiar with, but then starting to say who also is beyond our partners. And this is where getting connected into other tables such as the HSJCC is helpful, because we start bridging those gaps that exist there and collecting everyone. And so when we started doing the work for this event to invite organizations to host a table, we were able to identify who were we already working with, but who also weren't we working with and needed to make sure they got invited to it. And to date, we have over 26 organizations that will be present at the event in May, hosting a table to share information about themselves. The other piece with it is recognizing the importance of lived experience and getting that community perspective. And we do have our experienced partners who have been active participants in planning this event, but we recognize they only bring a few voices. And while they're very important voices, this event is something that showcases all the other voices in the community to get those pieces of feedback around what our ongoing needs will be as well. And so one that it pushes the information out to them, but we're also able to get that information back from them in terms of enabling this. And the OHT is in that great position because its goal is to be a facilitator amongst all of our different organizations and agencies in the community. And so continuing that conversation relationship building.
Carrie, people come together and give input, and yet how do we assure these people that what they're going to say and what they're going to share is going to make a difference?
Well, I can speak from an organizational perspective at CMHA. We are always looking to our staff and our clients and families of our clients for feedback on how we provide services so that we can improve. Most health organizations are mandated by their funders to seek feedback from patients and clients and their families in order to improve services. So that's like the bureaucratic answer, but the personal answer, I think, is in the people who show up in the room. So the folks who are gathering together as service providers here are sharing a vision that if we can build better connections amongst one another, we can provide better services. And the HSJCC, the Ontario Health teams, are all looking for those stories to then feed into organizations and collaborative events like this so that we can think about how do we lessen the gaps? How do we improve services? How do we connect to more people in a meaningful way?
Tasha, as one of the organizers of the event, can you tell us how it's been organized to ensure that as people participate, that they're going to be heard?
Yes. And I kind of want to follow up in what Carrie was just saying, and Lindsay's mentioned it as well. I think the collaboration with the OHT and the HSJCC is going to be meaningful in making progress with the feedback that we get. So on top of us, the organizers, getting the feedback, I am co-chairing the local level HSJCC, but in doing that, I also sit at a regional level. So all of the information that's gathered, it doesn't just stay within Northumberland. It will get brought forward to the next tier of the HSJCC. And then the data that's collected at a regional level goes above and beyond that to provincial. So as you get up into the up the chain in the HSJCCs, there's higher parties that sit on it. So there's various parties from from the ministry level. So there's the Ministry of Attorney General that sits on there. There's the Ministry of Health. There's the Ministry of Children, Community and Social Services. And there's the Ministry of the Solicitor General. So there's some big names or big positions within the provincial level. And all of this feedback does shape what policy changes may happen or how they can restructure, or it allows gaps to be identified to look at it from a systemic level as to what can shift to bridge these gaps.
There is a lot of controversy in Northumberland surrounding how we deal with things like homelessness, mental health, and addictions. It's a topic that divides our community on many levels. This is one of the topics that's going to be addressed at this event. And how would you evaluate the current system? I'll start with you, Lindsay.
I think that this will give an opportunity for some understanding to be brought forward to our residents. And so often the conversations that we see can have these stigmas that are brought forward to them, and it can be rooted out of a place of misinformation or misunderstanding of what folks are navigating, as well as what available supports and organizational means are in place. And so that work to destigmatize the approach that is brought forward to this and the services that are in the community for anyone that is facing challenges across mental health, addiction, substance use, the justice system, homelessness, is really important to be able to then shift it towards an action-oriented, positive approach to enabling and supporting these individuals, but also recognizing that these are also working to help others from also ending up in that situation.
Carrie, what do you see that we are doing well in Northumberland in this area?
Well, I think this event speaks to a big thing that's happening in Northumberland, and that's collaboration. And I have had the pleasure of stepping in and out of Northumberland over the years on different projects. And there's always a number of very passionate individuals who are interested in improving the quality of life for people who live in Northumberland. And I think that's a strength that's at the base of any kind of social justice or social change movement. And I think you're right that there is a hot topic right now around homelessness and addiction and mental health. And I think what we forget when we talk about that one moment in time where our homelessness numbers have grown is we forget that there are a number of things that lead to homelessness, right? And, you know, 1/3 of Canadians 15 years and older who have a mental health care concern say that their needs weren't fully met when accessing services. So we can talk about homelessness, we can talk about addiction, but I think what we have control over is improving our services so those 1/3 of Canadians age 15 plus who are looking for mental health support can find it when they need it and they get high quality support. So I do believe Lindsay's right. There's a lot of stigma. There's a lot of politicking that happens around issues, specifically when there's funding and safety involved. But what we can control as service providers is improving pathways to support and ensuring that people have the best opportunity possible to get the support they need as early as possible.
Lindsay, what do you see as a path forward to find workable solutions that not only address the needs of those who are homeless or face mental health issues or addictions, but also resolve some of the ongoing tensions that continue to divide our community?
I think twofold. I think one, from a community level, creating a space for those conversations that allow understanding and awareness around it. Carrie just perfectly set that up, that a person doesn't become homeless overnight from one occurrence. It's typically multifactorial that has led them to that event. But what can we do in terms of creating understanding and perspective about how they got there? And then also creating that collaboration amongst the services of how we can work one upstream to hopefully prevent future occurrences of that happening, but then also to support those currently in the system facing those challenges. And then as well, from a planning perspective, as future work comes underway, bringing that mindset to our future work to say, how can it be a collaborative effort that works across the intersectionality of it? Because we know mental health and social services need to be tied together and have that support piece there. And there are those relationships that do exist right now, but we always know there's that opportunity to enhance and optimize them.
Tasha, how would you rate the local justice system's ability to handle cases related to homelessness, mental health, and addictions?
It's a tough one. I think that the current, the housing access and the affordability is a huge piece. And with what we have now, I think that we're doing our best within the resources that we have to support these individuals who have that justice connection. It really is about assessing where they're at right now and what their needs are and trying to help support in the moment. Longer term planning is one of the focuses that we do with the individuals who are in contact with the justice system to try and alleviate any future involvement. But I think ultimately, the affordability and the access to the necessary resources is one of the biggest challenges that is a hurdle to overcome.
I guess I was thinking about Cobourg in particular, because Cobourg has a bylaw dealing with encampments. And it's being enforced by the bylaw officer and sometimes by the local police. And I just wonder to what extent you look at that aspect of it. Do you get down that deep, that grassroots, to discuss these kinds of things?
I think that that's a tough one, right? Every municipality across Ontario is really struggling with how they manage homelessness. And I'm aware of the bylaw in Cobourg. I'm aware of some of the challenges that the community is having. But regardless of bylaws or who's enforcing it, I don't think it's helpful to point fingers at who's doing their job, because a lot of us show up to do our job. But it is helpful to talk about how we all collectively as a community treat people with compassion. And I think that that's the challenge of the moment, to see social issues like homelessness growing so rapidly, to see affordability changing so rapidly over the last 5+ years, and to remain in a space that we can be compassionate towards people who have less than we have. So I think that that's the challenge. I don't want to dip into the politics for sure, but I would say that what we can do across political parties is decide to be compassionate about the people who are struggling in our community and who are often most marginalized, so that everyone has equitable access to care, whether that be healthcare, mental health care, substance use care, or other means of care. So I think that's the piece that this event is really striving towards, to make connection between agencies and humans, but also to showcase that compassion can actually get us much further than arguments.
Lindsay, would you be kind enough to go over the day, the time, location, and the itinerary for this event?
Absolutely. So the date is on Friday, May 8th. It is at the Cobourg Community Centre, which is located at 750 Darcy Street in Cobourg. From 9 to 11, that is our closed portion to the public. So that is only open to service providers and organization staff to attend, who have been directly invited. From 11 o'clock onwards, that's when it's open to any of the public to attend. And so from 11 till noon, we are having a panel discussion with representatives across Northumberland for their organizations, that is on the intersectionality of mental health, addictions, homelessness, social services, and the justice system. From noon to one, we have our guest speaker, who is Chad Valier. He's a peer support worker and recovery advocate. Again, both of those are open to anyone. And then from 1 to 3 p.m. is our open house. And so that's when the members of the public have the opportunity to come in and speak with any of the representatives at our tables. We have 26 organizations to date, continuing to have other folks put up their hand. It's been really well received in terms of that attendance.
Tasha Atkinson, Carrie Keitley, Lindsay Henderson, thank you all for talking to me today.
Thanks for your time,
Rob.
That was Tasha Atkinson, Chair of the Northumberland Human Services and Justice Coordinating Committee. Carrie Keitley, Director of Program and Services for the Canadian Mental Health Association, Halliburton, Kawartha, Pine Ridge. And Lindsay Henderson, Project Lead with Ontario Health Team of Northumberland. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.